This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. If you need any more information, head to FUBARradio.com.
Back Row and Chill with Johanna James on FUBAR Radio.
Good afternoon. It's just gone 4 o'clock, which means it is Back Row and Chill on FUBAR Radio. We've got a jam-packed show for you today. Really, really exciting. We've got Clifford Samuel, actor, who has just arrived in the building. Hello, Clifford. He's going to be joining me as my co-host for today. We've also got some amazing guests. We've got Phil Dunster from Sky Atlantic's new show, Save Me. And we have got an interview with Stephen S. DeKnight, who is the director of Pacific Rim Uprising. Going to be chatting to him all about what it's like to work with John Boyega and Charlie Day and all those other fabulous Hollywood stars right here in London. Make sure you are following our Twitter at FUBAR Radio, because we're going to be tweeting out all the bits and bobs that you're going to need to catch up with today's show. And if you want to get in touch, that's how you're going to do it. Just tweet me at FUBAR Radio and we will shout you out if you want to get a little bit of fame in the next hour. Or you can email me direct to the studio, chill@fubarradio.com. Again, let us know what you are loving, what you are hating, what you're watching, what you're going to go to the cinema tonight and see, or maybe the theatre, maybe Netflix, or just whatever you've had for breakfast. Just get involved with the show, people. We want to hear from you. We're going to be playing a lot of music from different various soundtracks that I've been preparing all week. I like to geek out and choose songs that have appeared in movies. So the first one, I'm going to leave it up to you guys on the Twitter sphere to guess where this song has appeared in movies. Maybe more than one, actually. Anyway, it's one of my favourite 90s jams. It's Here Comes the Hot Stepper. Let's get this show started.
Hit it! Na 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 na. Here come the hot snapper, I'm the lyrical gangster. Big up the crew in the area. Still have it like that. No, no, we don't die. Yes, we multiply. Anyone press will hear the fat lady sing. Act like you know, recall. I know what bow don't know. Touch them up and go. Ching, ching. Here come the hot stepper. I'm the lyrical gangster. Excuse me, Mr. Officer. Still living like that. Extraordinary. Juice like a strawberry. Money to burn, baby, all of the time. Cut to fit, it's me. Fit to cut, it's she. Come juggle with me. That's it. Every dial emergency number. Still living like that. Na 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 na. I'm the 90s Jack, that's it, understand. I'm the daddy of the Mac, daddy. Is a lifting gold made me. Ain't no homie gon' play me. Top celebrity man. I'm the lyrical gangster. Excuse me, Mr. Officer. Still living like that. No, no, we don't die. Yes, we multiply. Anyone test will hear the fat lady sing. Act like you know, G-go. I know what Bo don't know. Touch them up and go. Uh-oh, cha-cha-ching-ching. Here come the hot stepper. I'm the lyrical gangster. Big up the crew in the area. Still living like that. Here come the hot stepper. I'm the lyrical gangster. Big up all crew bow ya. Still have it like up. Pick up a crew in the area. I still love you like that. You call me a stepper. I'm the lyrical gangster. I'm a lemon, I'm a danger. Still love you like that. Hey. Da-da-da-da. Da-da-da-da. Da-da-da-da.
Right, we've officially started the weekend. Just sack off work. It doesn't matter if you finish, not now, or whatever. It's officially the weekend. It's Friday night. I'm joined in the studio today by Clifford Samuel. Welcome.
Hello.
Welcome back on the show, because you came on as a guest previously.
Yes, I did, yeah.
And now you've been bumped up a little bit on the roster.
Thanks for having me.
Come back as a co-host. And well, let's just like do a little bit of a bio about you, because you're an actor appearing on the BBC. And currently... America, what, AMC. AMC.
Yeah.
Hey, check that out. That's Walking Dead channel, isn't it?
Like, yeah, Walking Dead, Breaking Bad.
Oh, you know. Just
Mad Men.
Named, wow.
Apparently. That's what they do.
So what are you in? Who do you play?
Who am I?
What are you in? Who are you? That is the deepest question.
Who are you?
That is the existential question of life. But who do you play in your show?
I'm in the TV series called Mac Mafia. I'm playing a character called Femi. And it stars James Norton and et cetera, lots of other amazing international actors.
About a Russian mafia family.
Yeah, Russian mafia family. But the story is basically about global money laundering. And
current.
yeah, I know. Life imitating art. But yeah, so it's a very big convoluted story about how an innocent young man can get corrupted.
We all can. There's all potential for corruption. And it's kind of a bit on point at the moment with all the tension that's going on right now with Russia and England and the news and ZZs. And
I know. You couldn't write. You just couldn't make it up. I mean, without no spoilers in
oh,
Mac
really?
Mafia, there is a father-daughter relationship. Let's just say that. And that's what's happening right at the moment now.
Okay. But very excited to have you on. Thank you so much. Now, what we normally do on the show is we go for a bit of entertainment news. We let you guys at home know what is going on in the world of entertainment, because loads of stuff does go down. So having a little like brief look over the news today, Danny Boyle is writing the Bond 25.
I just found out. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a writer for him, but he's thinking about directing it.
Oh, is he?
I've heard. Yeah. If he's going to have a look at the writing, and if it's up to what he wants, then he'll direct it.
I like Danny Boyle. He did. But then I was thinking, like, because he's Trainspotting, and I was like, are we going to see like James Bond like get sucked into a toilet, or is it going to get a bit? Is it going to go a bit that direction, or I don't know? Bond 25. That, I mean, that's winning in the race of how many sequels you can ever have.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
Maybe Bond the 20. Land Before Time may also be at the same level of that. It's like Land Before Time 92, probably. But okay, Danny Boyle. I'm thinking, I'm liking that. Rooney Mara has been talking because there's that new movie coming out, The Life of Mary Magdalene, or it's called Mary Magdalene.
Oh, yeah, the one with Joaquin Phoenix.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And she was saying that, like, initially she didn't really know if she wanted to do it, and then the more she looked into it, because she found out that Mary Magdalene wasn't a prostitute, apparently. That's just, like, the real story. Apparently, Pope Gregory announced that she was a prostitute with, like, no real proof, and so they're going back, and it's told through the eyes of the woman.
Nice.
And and I realised I don't know really who Mary Magdalene is.
No,
I mean, Jesus takes all the limelight really in that story, doesn't he?
Yeah, so but let's just go and watch it and get enlightened by it.
Let's get enlightened. Let's get some religious education. or maybe not. Maybe it's Hollywood's version of that. But I like Rooney Mara.
Yeah, she's very good. I love
her. She's Girl with a Dragon Tattoo.
Yeah.
Which, to play Girl with a Dragon Tattoo and then to play Mary Magdalene, I mean, that's a nice little CV that she's little bubbling away there.
That's a good contrast.
Yeah. I like her range.
A range.
Potential girlfriend of Jesus. And
Imagine that. Imagine you're Rooney Mara now pitching your own film. Yeah, I'm like a potential girlfriend of Jesus.
Right.
Yeah.
It's all very dramatic.
Yeah. Go see.
I'm definitely going to check that out. Black Panther crosses the $1 billion at the box office mark.
This is the applause popping the mic.
Here we go. Yes, $1 billion. Okay, that's enough applause. I'm going to go and see it actually tomorrow. I was trying to go.
First time?
No, I went to the premiere.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Excuse me. Thank you.
Insulted. Went to premiere.
Went to the prem. Yeah, I got to go and. I went to the prem and I got to work the red carpet. So I got to speak to Michael Bay Jordan and Daniel Kaluuya. I got a lot of the cast to have a little chit chat with. I asked Daniel Kaluuya if he won the Oscar, would he poo himself? And he laughed and said that he hasn't shot himself in 20 years, so he'd be cool. So,
Daniel, I'm so sorry.
Well, I bet him that he would, but we'll have to see.
Yeah, he's a lovely guy. Pleased for him.
Seems really nice. I'm really stoked for that. I'm going to go and see it again tomorrow because I saw it, but I didn't fully, you never fully take these things in.
That was an event.
It was a historical event I went to, so I want to go watch it again and get a bit more comfy, take my shoes off, that kind of thing. Really get into it. And so Beyonce and Jay-Z have announced that they're about to go on a joint tour coming around England.
You're current. I like it.
Yeah. It's On the Run 2, which I was like, cool. And it marks 10 years of their marriage. But I'm thinking that it was more Jay-Z was going to go on tour. And Beyonce's like, hell no without me.
Controversial.
Because I don't want no more Becky with the nice hair.
Well, yeah.
So it seems a little bit like a kind of, you can go out, but not without me.
Yeah. I am going to be your chaperone.
She's chaperoning the fuck out of Jay-Z, for sure. But it's cool. I was in Shoreditch yesterday, and instead of seeing a poster for it, someone had done like a proper painted mural of Beyonce and was... Beyonce? Beyonce. Of Beyonce, Beyonce. And... Jay Zard. And then I liked it. I was like, wow, that's time, that's effort. Well done to that mural artist.
Nice. Where was that? Brick Lane?
It's in Brick Lane, yeah. Oh, on the main, like.
Yeah, yeah, that bit. That strip.
That bit of Brick Lane, that strip where they do the murals.
Yeah. With Jay Z.
With Jay Z and Beyonce. Infinity War, you Marvel fan outside of the Panther?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yes. Well, they've dropped a new trailer, so get on the internet any which way you prefer and check out the Infinity War new... I actually didn't get to download it because my the Wi-Fi speed in it was like pants.
Slow.
It was slower than slow.
But so. We can, yeah, hopefully the Wakanda people will be in it more.
Oh, yes. Yeah, they're totally going to re-edit that. And be like, cha-ching!
Yeah,
for sure. And they've even moved up the date of it, so we can see it even quicker, because it was going to be on May 4th. May the 4th be with you. And now it is going to be on April 27th. So pop that in your diary, because Infinity War...
Okay.
They've moved it up. And then that means that loads of other movies have also moved up, because
nobody wants to compete.
No one wants to go, no.
Like I call it 4-week radius.
Yeah. Everyone's just like, staying back.
Yeah.
From
even though Spielberg's releasing his, like, what, in a couple of weeks?
Ready Player One.
Yeah.
I'm going to see that on Monday and break that.
Oh, really? Yeah, he's not going to compete. So there. Yeah, no, that release, like, apparently is early.
Stuff that. Actually, Ready Player One, I was looking at reading an article about that saying that Spielberg couldn't get the rights to Star Wars, because that film, Ready Player One, if anyone's like, what is Ready Player One? Check out the trailer now. It's set in the future probably not far off what our future is going to be, where everything's just in virtual reality, pretty much, a bit Black Mirror-y. Mm. And everyone logs onto this thing called the Oasis, where you basically just live out your life and your fantasies and everything. The guy who invents Oasis dies and leaves a massive Easter egg, and if you can get to a certain level, you like win. Life, I don't know, but they basically put so many Easter eggs and references to like Back to the Future and all these. Okay, I've just lost every other reference that there is in there, but it's very exciting. But they couldn't get Star Wars.
That's so interesting.
Considering Spielberg even had like a stake in the original Star
Wars.
Yeah,
he did. Yeah, yeah.
Disney now own it, and they were like, nah. So cheers, Disney, for being a fun teammate there. So there's no Star Wars references in it, but there's like so many others. So if you're a appreciator of 80s film, or even if, or you don't have to be from the East, I guess.
Like, no, you just appreciate.
Yeah, I mean, I was born the back of, where were you born?
Never ask a gentleman their age.
No,
okay. No, I'm an 80s kid though.
Oh, you're an 80s kid.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, be like, no, I was born in 94.
Yeah, yeah, I was like, I'm 21, innit?
94. Yeah. 21 forever. Yeah, no, Ready Player One is my second, like, I think I'm looking forward to Infinity War and then Ready Player One. That's what I'm looking forward to the most.
Nice.
And what else is coming out and coming up? So, apparently, word is, well, not more than apparently, I think it's actually going ahead. Amazon TV are making two series of Lord of the Rings. They're doing Lord of the Rings, the TV series.
I did hear that.
And they've got £500 million budget. It's going to be big, it's going to be epic. But what do we think about that? Because I'm still like, it was actually like a nearly 20 years ago that they made the original Lord of the Rings movies. You know, Elijah Wood and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, yeah, it was 2000, yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, that just feels like, what? I'm old. That feels about 7 years ago that happened, right? And then we've got those, the whole Hobbit films came out as well. I like Lord of the Rings better than The Hobbit.
Yeah.
To be honest.
Yeah.
But what do you feel about Lord of the Rings, the series? Would you be into that, or?
I think, I'll take a look, but I feel people are going to watch it again because it's, the timing is another, not generation, but there's a decade gap of people who missed it.
Oh yeah, true. Yeah, people who would be like,
and loyal fans was just watch it again.
Yeah,
because it was going to be like in bite-sized chunks in an hour.
Oh yeah.
So people will take it, you know.
I feel like the Lord of the Rings world, that is a niche geek. Like, all the geeks are going to come out hiding. That's going to come out of all the rocks and stuff. And yeah, I think everyone loves a bit of Tolkien.
Yeah, we might be in it.
You might.
We
you.
Yeah, yeah, we'll just be in it.
I think they should actually. That's one thing that I think they should do. They're going to need to. They're going to need to diversify that up for sure. Because like, come on, guys. Come on, Peter Jackson.
Yeah, come on.
Diversify that Tolkien book. Right, I think we should get to a guest because we've got our next guest coming in to the studio. So let me see what song I'm gonna go for a bit of Riverdale, some Riverdale here. This is Milkshake, but maybe not the version that you've ever heard. But I'm loving this song right now.
My milkshake brings all the boys to the yard and they're like, it's better than yours. Damn right, it's better than yours. I can teach you, but I have to charge. My milkshake brings all the boys to the yard and they're like, it's better than yours. Damn right, it's better than yours. I can teach you, but I have to charge.
I know you want it, the thing that makes me, oh, what the guy.
Warm it up, la 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 la. The boys are waiting, la 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 la. The boys are waiting.
It's better than yours, damn right. It's better than yours, I can teach you. But I have to charge my milkshake. Brings all the boys to the yard and they're like, it's better than yours, damn right. It's better than yours, I can teach you. But I have to charge.
Back Row and Chill with Johanna James on FUBAR Radio.
It is Back Row and Chill. We've got our first guest in, so a huge welcome to Phil Dunster. Oh, yeah. Let's see if we can get a have a bit of applause for you there. Lovely. Welcome on the show.
Thanks, mate.
So we're gonna have, well, you've got quite an impressive CV. Mm. That's you've done lots of bits and bobs. You've been on The Murder on the Orange Express.
Yeah.
Nice and close into the mic, babe.
I'll prop up on that one.
There
yeah.
we go.
Yeah, you might if you blink you'll miss me, but I crop okay. up. It was
I
good fun.
Never blink when I watch movies. That's just like a thing. You just gotta take everything in.
Rule 101.
I have to have eye drops by the end of it.
Mine's just streaming.
But it's great. Because you don't miss
like Daniel Kaluuya on Get Out, you just like just like oh, eyes streaming down your face.
So you blink and miss you on Murder in the Orient Express.
But it was wicked to do. It was one of those where I was knocking about for quite a bit and got to meet quite a few people on it, and it was so much fun to do. You know, you leave each day just being like, wow, that's such a cool.
Did you fangirl?
Big time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who did you fangirl the most?
The most was Olivia Colman.
Oh, yes.
She is amazing.
Oh, yes.
She's amazing.
So good.
What a woman.
Yeah.
And I bumped into Daisy Ridley and I was a bit like, hi.
You're a Jedi.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
It was definitely really professional, you know, guys.
I do this weird thing when I meet famous people that I counteract the fangirling with playing it really cool.
Yeah.
But to the point where I'm like a bit rude because I'm kind of like, sorry, what's your name again? To like Dwayne Johnson. You
that's
know
what I was
like,
about to say. I was like, who are you again? What? Sorry, why are you here?
Sorry? Mr. Pitt?
So cool.
Yeah, try and play cool. I don't fangirl often, but who have I fangirled over? Actually, no, it probably was The Rock.
Yeah.
Just because I was such a big wrestling fan when I was a kid, and I just met him as a 10-year-old and was just like, oh! But then it freaked me out that I was kind of nearly eye level with him. He's not as tall as you think he is.
And that's the main thing, isn't it? That's
they never are. I always meet celebrities and they're midget versions. It's like, oh, who knew Zac Efron was 5'2"? No, I'm lying. He's about 5'9", but still, everyone's just a lot more, you know. And also, loads of people, they bulk up for movies, and then when they're not in that like 3-month shoot, they do not look like that.
Yeah,
so I'm just
dropped.
Like comparing guns and being like, you know what? Ain't all that. Like,
not to The Rock, though.
Not to The Rock.
He's just wide.
He's quite wide.
Dense. He's like a mountain of a man.
Just charging at you.
Like a rock.
But when I met The Rock, I also met Kevin Hart, because they would often do loads of movies together since they're such bum chums. And I made a massive faux pas. Like, I couldn't have... Yeah, I did not make friends with Kevin Hart. Because what happened was, everyone was in the room for the interview and they set us up on these really tall bar stools.
Mm.
And Kevin was on his own, so I thought, I'll go say hi to Kevin. So I went up and sat on the bar stool. And then I didn't know what to say. My legs were just swinging away. And I was like, wow, these stools make me feel really small. And he just looked at me like, bitch, seriously? And I was like, fuck it. Oh my God,
but you were doing your thing where you pretended you didn't know who he was.
I was like, I just called Kevin Hart small.
You're just being apathetic.
I mean, yeah. No, he didn't like me. He like parred my high five later on in the interview and like really embarrassed me. So
that's not cool.
Oh.
Yeah, he left me hanging. Which is fine, you know, it's a moment, at least it's a story.
Kevin Hart hating.
Kevin Hart
tough,
is not a fan of me.
It's tough.
But it's totally my fault. I wasn't very sensitive.
But it's sort of his, like a part of his brand, isn't it? The fact that he's
really small.
That he's short.
Mm.
Which he plays to
quite
a lot. But I guess if that's your vibe and then someone's like, hey man, you're short, you're like,
no,
I know.
Yeah,
I know.
She just ride the wave. That's what the number one box office films is, because you're small.
Yeah.
You know.
And incredibly funny.
Very, very funny.
Who have you fangirled over, Cliff?
Oh, I'm trying to work out. Who have I? Denzel Washington.
Oh my god.
Oh, he's my favourite actor.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Years and years ago. But wow. It was amazing.
What did you speak?
I just stared. You know, he looked at me and he was just, you know, he's like, wow, he's looking into my soul.
Yeah.
And he's just, I'm like, yeah, we did speak. I just said, you know, it was my first show leaving drama school. And then he was just like, you know, don't worry about it, son. Your instincts brought you here.
Wow.
Yeah, it was in a stage door off, he just did Brutus and Julius Caesar off Broadway, on Broadway.
Oh my god.
And wow. Yeah, it was amazing.
Wow. That time limit, Denzel Washington, a stage door. And he gave me life advice.
And that in the alleyway.
Actually, do you know who has become a kind of life advice giver recently?
No. To you?
Well, I'm imagining that it's just okay. It's actually to the world. Will Smith has started vlogging. Have you seen any of this?
A bit. What, Instagram? Yeah. I saw a little bit on Instagram.
So Will Smith has started a YouTube channel, which instantly got like thousands of followers, and he started to do these like amazing. I've got a little clip that we can play because honestly, like he preaches, and I'm listening.
I love this one. Fail early, fail often, fail forward. You know, it's always a little bit frustrating to me when people have a negative relationship with failure. Failure is a massive part of being able to be successful. You have to get comfortable with failure. You have to actually seek failure. Failure is where all of the lessons are. Successful people fail a lot. They fail a whole lot more than they succeed, but they extract the lessons from the failure and they use that the energy and they use the wisdom to come around to the next phase of success. So fail early, fail often, fail forward.
Fail forward.
Fail.
Or never fail.
I mean, I could just listen to Will all day. He brings them out weekly and I'm just like, wow, for Fresh Prince is like matured into like Uncle Phil.
For vlogging, so he's actually vlogging this.
Yeah, he's vlogging nice. Everything. That's
did you? He's now as on a slight tangent. I think he's now older than
he is.
What's
then
that?
The uncle.
That's it.
In Fresh Prince, yeah.
He's now like when he started. Yeah.
He's now older.
Oh wow!
Which makes you feel old, doesn't it? But I love the strings in the background.
Yeah, that was pretty epic music.
How can you not be inspired?
Because many people don't know this, but Will Smith actually has a full string quartet just following around. Yeah.
Oh yeah, so,
so whenever he just like feels moved to talk or any ordering McDonald's, it's epic because there's a violinist.
Yeah. Mine are actually just outside. I don't know.
Oh, they're having a rest.
Yours? Yeah. They normally are. They would normally be on, but.
Oh really? Oh
no. Space in here.
My birthday's like a dozen. Forget quartet. Like
the
triple,
full philharmonic.
Yeah, treble quartet is there.
So talking about success and failure, we're going to swing right back around. Mm. Like, how did this? You are in a brand new Sky Atlantic show.
Yeah.
Save Me, which I've seen. They've done a lot of promo for this because I keep seeing the posters everywhere.
Yeah.
How did you get involved in that and what is that about?
So I got involved. My agent sent it through and it was one of those where... There was this director's note that came along with it, and Nick Murphy, who directed it, had basically just written out what he wanted from the actors. You sometimes get with it in an audition, they sometimes tell you what it is, the vibe. And I read that first and just was immediately like, yeah, and this is the sort of thing that I'm into. This is a bit of me, this. Because it's like, the way that Lenny had written it out, the sort of the structure of the script meant that like you could tell how it was going to be and it was like quick and it was like fierce and energetic, the whole thing. So, and basically the story is that Jodie McGrory, a young 14-year-old girl, goes missing. And
it was you. No, I'm sorry.
Yeah. I was the 14-year-old girl.
Oh.
We follow Lenny James's character, who also wrote it, and who is, for those who have seen it or are currently watching it, will know he is an absolute powerhouse in it. Mm. He's so good, man. And the script itself, we follow him throughout his journey, basically trying to find his estranged daughter. And there's lots of people that we see on the way. It's a sort of whodunit, but like it's a thriller at the heart, at the core of it. And it does London. It does London so well.
Is it filmed in London?
Yeah.
Okay, because I saw this article saying it's set in London, but where is it filmed? And I was like, well, did they film it in, like, Westgate? Like, what's going on?
Well, yeah, but like, you see some of the stuff. I was speaking to someone last night and who I was playing football with, and he was like, yeah, the Palm is my local. It's where the pub that they spend their time at. It's local.
Local pub.
Real local pub. Yeah, they're all drinking real beer and getting drunk.
It was all real. Everything was real.
Yeah.
Even the murders. No. Method.
The insurance was insane on it. They killed like four people. It was bad.
Just the extras. No, I'm joking. Yeah. All that was bad. No. Right. So have you finished everything with it, and or is it going to be serious at all?
Well, I don't know yet.
Okay.
I think that the plan has always been with a preference of that going on. As you know, it's difficult to know, but the response has been amazing. It's been really good. You know, when you go on Twitter and you sort of sometimes when you're looking up the hashtag or whatever the show is, you're a bit tentative because you're like, I don't want people to think it was shit, but then you go on and like,
yeah, like,
and it's been amazing, man. It's been such a cool response. And And also the amazing thing about it is that whilst you've got Lenny James and Stephen Graham and like Kerry Godleyman and Saran Jones, such a brilliant like lead cast, I think that like Alice Feetham and like Tommy Coombs and Alex Arnold, just wicked, like a whole bunch of amazing performances. Which
I'm going to get on that.
Clearly, I'm including myself in that.
But this weekend, it's going to snow again, guys. Like, we got like a little touch of summer today, about 13 degrees. And then tomorrow, tonight, it's going to go right back down. So, my plan for the weekend really is, apart from to go and see Black Panther again, I'm just going to be indoors. And so, I'm going to work my way through a lot of shows. So, that is for sure.
Yeah. So, it's still on Sky. Roster. It's on the third episode on Sky Atlantic, I think, at the moment. It's and yeah. Now TV.
Nice. I Sky Plus'd it, so I'm definitely going to watch it. I mean, I have to anyway. Lenny was my mentor for a long time.
Really?
Well, since drama. He's at Guildhall, so yeah.
Right.
So it was Lenny and Denzel, obviously. Oh, gosh, just throwing your mentors around.
Look who's talking Black Panther <You're> premiere. you know what I mean? This is a red carpet.
What can I say? So cool. I invented a dance move actually, accidentally.
Did you?
Yeah, it's called the White Conda.
Can you explain it for the listeners?
Well, you kind of like move your... Oh, yeah, you can't really see. I have to do like an audio explanation.
You
kind of do the...
arms flapping, just to let you know.
You've got the Wakanda cross, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But then you've got to move it with your knees at the same time, and that's called the White Kanda because it's really white dancing.
Nice. Crisscross action, I think, is probably the best.
You know, what can I say? I start trends, but it's amazing. So I make comedy sketches online. That's like my day-to-day job, and I've recently applied for that 23andMe DNA history.
Oh yeah,
I was really interested to find out just like where am I from, because yes. I don't know, could be from anywhere, and apparently it's really thorough and it literally tells you like the percentage of what the world, because everyone's related to everyone pretty much nowadays, and we're all getting more and more mixed, but I was thinking, I was like, wow, if I have even like 1% of African in me, I'm gonna do a sketch where I'm like, find out, and then like, boom, and I'm like, yes!
Who would you want it to be? Who was like the best person in history you want to be related to? You could be like, that's my great-great-grandmother.
Ooh. Do you know what? The first person that I was ever learnt about in history, like my first day of school, I learnt about Queen Boudicca, Queen Boadicea.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I stuck with me, like my first ever, and I was like...
Yeah,
I want to be her. She was Vixen. Amazing. She was a queen.
She's amazing.
She had red hair. She drove a chariot, and she like had an army. And I was
you
like,
know a thing or two about Queen Boudicca, don't you, Clifford?
Why did you throw that to me? I thought you. Yeah, when I was last here, that was my last theatre show.
Oh yeah,
I did Boudicca at the Globe.
Totally knew
with
that.
With Gina, lovely Gina McKee.
Which is why I threw that in there. So, you know.
Didn't you?
That was amazing radio.
Good memory, Johnny. Yeah, great. Thanks. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just linking this so well. It's
they got a real chariot on stage. It was actually, it was...
Real horses?
No. Just a
Clifford
chariot.
Was the horse.
Just a chariot.
I was the horse. I had my brace. It was good.
Amazing. Yeah, who would you want to be related to?
Oh, I... Would you think I'd ask that when I asked the question?
Santa.
My brain's like, say,
do you know what?
Say Aristotle.
I'm going to give you guys a little break. I'm going to pop to a song, and then you guys can think about who you're going to be related to. And I'm also going to turn this out to the audience out there. Tweet us at Fubar Radio or email in chill@fubarradio.com. Let us know who in history you want to be related to. Let's start a little like hashtag. Like, you know, let's just get this started. Yeah.
The motherfucking Eagle Double G.
Snoop Dogg.
Da, 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 da. You know I'm mobbing with the D.R.E.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know who's back up in this motherfucker.
Motherfucker.
So raise the weed up then. Raise that shit up, nigga. Yeah, stop, Snoop.
Top dog, light them off, nigga, burn this shit up.
DB, GC, my nigga, turn that shit up. CPT, LBC, yeah, we hooking back up. And when they bang this in the club, baby, you got to get up. Thug niggas, drug dealers, yeah, they giving it up. Low life, yo life, boy, we living it up. Taking chances while we dancing in the party for sure. Slipped my hoe a 44 when she got in the back door. Bitches looking at me strange, but you know I don't care. Step up in this motherfucker just to swing in my hair. Bitch, quit talking, quit walk if you're down with the sick. Take a bullet with some dick and take this dope on this jet. Out of town, put it down for the father of rap. And if your ass get cracked, bitch, shut your trap. Come back, get back, that's the part of success. If you believe in the ass, you'll be relieving your stress.
It's the motherfucking D.R.E.
Dr. Dre, motherfucker.
You know I'm mobbing with the D.O.G. Straight off the fucking streets of CBT. King up the beach, ride to him in your fleet.
Look,
the field rolling on dubs. How you feel? Whoop-de-whoop, nigga, what? Praying Snoop Chronic down in the lag. With Doc in the back, sipping on yak.
Yeah.
Clipping the strap, dipping through hoods.
What hood?
Compton, Long Beach, Inglewood. Stop Central, I put the website. This California love, this California bug. Got a nigga gang of pub. I'm on one, I might bell up in the Century Club. With my jeans on, and my team strong. Get my drink on, and my smoke on. Then go home with something to poke on.
What's up, bitch?
Locust song for the 2000. Coming real, it's the next episode.
Hold up, hey, for my niggas who be thinking we soft, we don't play, we gon' rock it till the wheels fall off. Hold up, hey, for my niggas who be acting too bold, take a seat, hope you're ready for the next episode, hey.
Everybody.
Smoke weed every day.
Amazing. Blazing in the studio. No, we're not. Yes, we are. No, we're not.
No, we're not. Let's see. just bottle of water.
Water, blazing the water. Right, if you've just joined us, we are having a chit-chat with Phil Dunster and Clifford Samuel, and I'm Johanna James. And while that song was on, we were actually just having a quick chit-chat about sex scenes, because all of us are thespians and actors, and we've all, I think we've all, have you had a sex scene, Phil?
Yes, I've been known to, yeah.
Yeah, you've been known to. Been known to bonk on the TV. Yeah. And, yeah, just about what you have to do to prepare and how awkward they are. When was your first sex scene? What was your first time, babes?
My first time was on a show called Man in an Orange Shirt.
Ooh.
Yes. But do you know what? It's one of those things, I think, from when before you do it, you're like, are we just going to be having sex on screen? But it's just like doing another scene. Like, you map it out like you would any other scene.
Like,
so
a dance.
It's so, like, sterile, I guess.
It's unsexy.
Unsexy.
Unsexy. And choreography, and literally is like that. My left hand goes, and then your hand goes, and then we...
But like, I was doing it with this Julian Morris, this guy, and like, he could not have been more like put you more at ease about it. And you need someone who I think is just totally in control and is like, yeah, it's cool, and but just asks you, map it all through. I think,
super awkward. I was asked whether I wanted a closed set, and it was my first time on any kind of TV show, and I was like, nah, it's cool.
It's gonna be on screen anyway.
I was like, it's gonna be on screen with like millions of people, so then we can. But then people just came to watch, and I was just like, there was like a lot of people, and it was shot outside in the woods. So yeah, and now I didn't understand about what close set. Now I'm thinking, yeah, probably would have been better. Less of an audience there, you know. Mine was like proper Game of Thrones. It's medieval. He had chainmail on, and afterwards I had to go to the medic because he chafed all the backs of my legs.
Oh, hello,
medic. Medic, there's been some thrusting in the chainmail.
Have you got a plaster or two? Thanks.
Probably gonna get tetanus. Tetanus jabs all round to the arse. Anywho, right, Phil, it's been amazing to have you on. I want to end with a little bit of a quiz. Let's get serious here.
Wicked.
So I've got a little... Let me get my answers. Where are they? Here they are. No peeking. I'm going to play like 8 to 10 seconds of a movie theme song, and shout out if you think you know what it is. What movie is this from?
I
Come on, guys.
Oh, I know. Yes.
Ding. West God.
Shrek.
Yes.
Yes.
Dunk it. Dunk it. Dunk it. Yes, well done. Okay.
Okay. Now I know the pattern of.
Again, a little bit harder. A little bit harder. I'll give you a clue. This is a. Number 2 is coming out this year. It's an animation.
Oh, I know. Ding, ding, ding.
Yep.
The Incredibles.
Yeah, oh my God. Yeah. Phil is coming in. Come on.
Wow. What, come on, it's, I'm terrible. It's all animation. I'm like, I need to keep up. Okay, the next one. Star Wars.
Harry. Oh, no, same composer.
Has a P. Harry Potts.
Yeah, Phil. Ding, ding, ding.
John Williams.
Oh, it is. Okay, you get half a point for knowing the composer. Okay, what about this one? I'm not gonna help with you. Come on, man.
Black Panther.
Spider-Man.
Yes.
She's doing like Spider-Man.
I thought you were just swearing at me on this. All I got was I got V
then.
Sign. I got V.
I'm doing the Spider-Man for you.
I didn't get the...
Okay.
Is it only...
Lord of the Rings.
Yes! Oh, one point.
With Howard Shore.
Toss me. Okay, number 6.
You're a bad banana with a greasy black beard.
No, oh, mate. No.
I feel like there'll be people listening being like, how do you not know what that is?
The Grinch.
Oh, this is the Grinch.
It's the Grinch. Okay, this what's this?
This is Bond.
Which one?
No.
No, it's the, it's...
Chris Cornell.
It is Chris Cornell.
It is, it's Casino, the second one. Royale.
Yeah. Oh, it was the first one.
The first one, yes. If either of you guessed this, I'm getting you 100 points because even I don't know what this one is. It's
Shabba-dee-bee-dee.
Spirited Away.
Oh,
you remember Spirited Away.
Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yay.
Where's the rock gone? Parley. I'm both about to parley. I did very good.
Yeah, that was good.
Parley.
That was really good.
I'm both about to parley. She talks with her teeth like
that's
that.
That's just,
see?
You've got the mouth down as well. Is it the new Jumanji film?
It's not. It's, I'll
it's
give
an
you
old
a clue.
One.
Aslan.
Lion Witch.
And the wardrobe.
And
fucking the wardrobe. Well done. Well, I feel Phil, you won that one.
No, it's a draw. I lost.
Thanks all to that audience.
Yeah. It was well done. Well played. Amazing. Well, thank you so much for coming on. I'm definitely going to check out Save
Wicked.
Me. Atlantic and Now TV. Nice little plug. Oh, yeah. No more job. Okay, we're going to go to a little bit more music. I'm going to go for an Ed Sheeran remix, which actually isn't in, to my knowledge, any movie that is currently out there. But if I was going to write a movie, this would be the opening song, I think, because I think it's got a good credit vibe, like an opening credit vibe. Mm. So we're going to play a bit of Ed Sheeran.
See you.
When your legs don't work like they used to before, and I can't sweep you off of your feet, will your mouth still remember the taste of love? Will your eyes still smile from your cheek? Darling, I will be loving you till 70. Baby, my heart could still fall as hard at 23. When my hair's all but gone and my memory fades, and the crowds don't remember my name, when my hands don't play the strings the same way, I know you will still love me the same. Cause honey, your soul could never grow old, it's evergreen.
light of a thousand stars.
Oh, Back Row and Chill with Johanna James on FUBAR Radio.
Now, I'm very, very excited because we have an interview with Stephen S. DeKnight, who is the director of the new movie Pacific Rim Uprising. I can't say Pacific. I say specific. I'm dyslexic here. But anyway, we got Stephen on the phone, and I'm super excited to show you guys this interview. This was me chilling with Stephen Scott DeKnight.
Hello, Johanna. How are you?
Hi, Stephen. I'm fantastic. How are you?
I could not be better.
Oh, thank you so much for coming on FUBAR Radio.
My pleasure.
So we are chit-chatting about Pacific Rim Uprising. I'm a massive sci-fi fan, so this is right up my alley.
So am I. That's perfect.
Well, I mean, that's a good job that you are, because you're helming this. what attracted you to the project? What made you go, yes, this is going to be my debut?
I always say that Pacific Rim actually picked me instead of the other way around.
Okay, yes.
I had written a small Hitchcockian thriller. It was three people in a house.
Okay.
And Mary Parent, the super producer, read it and really liked it, and we set it up at a studio, and that was going to be my directorial debut in features. And it was taking a while to get it going, and Mary called me up one day and said, yeah, you know, maybe this wasn't meant to be your directorial debut. And I thought, ah, she's pulling out. There goes my movie.
Yeah.
And she surprised me by following up with, what do you think about Pacific Rim 2 instead? And I about fell off my chair.
Say what?
I'm a huge science fiction fan ever since I was a kid, and a huge fan of Guillermo del Toro ever since I saw his first movie, Kronos. I've seen all of his movies, listened to all of his commentary on DVDs, and I have all of his books on the making of his movies.
So you're a fanboy, basically.
I am a fanboy. Yeah. I loved the first movie. I thought it was so great to see an original IP out there that wasn't based on an existing book or comic book remake of something. It's like I won the lottery. Not only did I get to direct a movie, but it's a giant science fiction movie with Jaegers and monsters, and it was such a childhood dream come true.
And this film is set in the year 2035, which I think is quite hard to do for sci-fi, because you're not so far in the future that you can just be kind of crazy. You've got to keep it kind of real. So how did you approach that, making the kind of real future? It's the future of tomorrow, basically, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, there are a lot of interesting questions I got about it as we were developing it. I was asked things like, well, why are there cars? There won't still be cars. And I'm like, 2035? Yeah, there'll still be cars. What are you crazy? And there were questions about, will there still be money? We won't still be using money in 2035. And I'm
Bitcoin.
Like,
everyone's on Bitcoin.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm pretty sure you'll have a couple of bucks in your pocket in 2035. Like you said, it's the near future. So I didn't want to get too crazy, you know. There aren't flying cars or anything like that. It should feel like it's you know, tomorrow, instead of a 100 years into the future.
Yeah, for sure, and that makes it almost more scary and more relevant. It's a bit like Black Mirror because it's just around the corner, so it's on point.
Yeah, absolutely. I didn't want to go so far that people felt disconnected by what was going on.
Now, you obviously, there's a lot of CGI, but very, very good CGI. Are you a CGI fan, or are you more of an old-school practical effects guy?
Both. I think there are uses for both. When I was growing up, I loved special effects. I originally, when I was a kid, I wanted to be a stop-motion animator because of Ray Harryhausen's brilliant work. And then I started to get interested into special effects makeup because Dick Smith and Rick Baker and Rob Bottin. I was always interested in the technical aspects. I love practical effects. I mean, you look at something like John Carpenter's The Thing, which is such a pinnacle of those kind of practical effects. But I am a huge proponent of CGI. I think what you can do now in movies with CGI is groundbreaking. Literally, we can do anything now. which is so important. Now, but there's a cautionary tale there. You have to be careful with CGI and not have it take over the story. If you don't have engaging characters or an interesting story, no amount of spectacular visual effects is going to help you.
Yeah, I think that's a thing that audiences say. Sometimes you can be like overstimulated and overwhelmed by
right.
the amount of effects, and you got to bring it back to like real people, real characters, which is for
absolutely.
Sure.
And one of the brilliant things that Guillermo del Toro and Travis Beecham set up with this franchise is it's not just giant robots punching giant monsters. The core concept that it takes two humans working together mm-hmm. in sync emotionally and physically to operate one of these giant machines is brilliant on so many levels. One, just to teach about working together, but as a story construct, you always can go to the humans while you're having one of these giant fights. So it's not just a CGI fest.
Exactly. And I mean, you have an amazing cast to cut to, let's be honest.
I certainly do. Very fortunate.
Yeah. And so what was the sort of the decision for John Boyega? And he's got his English accent out in this film, which is...
He does.
Yeah. I mean, I always find it, this is a very big American action movie. And then your lead guys, he's repping England, which is amazing.
I love it. The story there with John... is once we decided that the script would center on the son of Stacker Pentecost, we needed somebody you would buy being the son of Idris Elba.
Oh, yeah.
Which is a large...
Big shoes to fill there.
Yeah, huge. So Mary Parent suggested John Boyega, and I said, oh, my God, I love John Boyega. I loved Attack the Block. I love his work as Finn in Star Wars.
Yeah.
But I told her there's no way he's going to do it. He's doing Star Wars. Why would he want to do another science fiction franchise? And she said, well, he's coming in for a general meeting to talk about some other projects. Let's set up all the concept art in a conference room, and I'll casually walk him past and see if he's interested.
Amazing.
And
you hooked him.
And it worked. That's the... It turns out he's a huge anime giant monster fan.
Perfect.
And he was very excited about the idea of taking on the mantle of this franchise. And that's how he came into the movie. And once we had John Boyega, that was really the moment that I breathed a sigh of relief that the movie's actually going to get made now.
Yeah.
We've got a fantastic star. And he is so good. I can't wait for... It's like a different side of John you haven't seen in his other movies.
Yeah.
When we were shooting, I used to tell John all the time, you know, you're like a young Harrison Ford. You're like Indiana Jones and Han Solo all rolled into one.
Yeah, because when he plays Finn in Star Wars, he's the comedy relief. And mm-hmm. the sense I get from this film is that he, like, you know, he's fronting the whole thing. He's proper, he's a pilot and yeah.
Oh, he's the star, without a doubt. And the English accent, because he's the son of Idris Elba, we really wanted him just to keep his natural accent. We thought that would be a really great story point.
Did he ever accidentally slip between the two? Because I know, well, I used to live in Canada, so whenever I go stateside, I naturally just start to get a little bit American. And, like, I switch and sway. So did you ever have to be like, John, you're going and you're slipping back into... Or was he all right?
Not at all.
Oh, man.
Not at all. I mean, he was dead on the whole production.
Oh, amazing. Oh, Stephen, I'm sorry. We've got to wrap it up, but we've got one last question for you just because
yes.
I'm really interested. What does Stephen S. stand for? What's the middle name there?
You know, I always tell everybody it's Super.
Oh.
Stephen Super Denight.
Super Denight.
It's actually Scott.
Scott. Okay. Stephen Scott Denight. Well, thank you so much. And I'm definitely looking forward to Pacific Rim Uprising. Thank you so much. Have a fantastic weekend riding on the success of this movie.
Thank you. You too.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
He was a pleasure to talk to. He was so fun. I was talking to a Hollywood director. So guys, that is Pacific Rim Uprising out on the 23rd of March. Make sure you go see it. I definitely am. It looks really good. And also, John Boyega get to rep the English accent in a massive American action movie.
Nice.
So, there we better put my comment.
Hello,
you're back in the room.
Good morning.
You just shot across the room like, so fast.
No. Yeah. But is this a sequel?
Yeah, it's the part two.
Oh, God. When is it out?
It's out the 23rd of March. Thank you very much.
Nice. No, no, I actually forgot.
Oh, you actually forgot. I thought you were just like.
I was.
Okay. I was. Amazing. Right. So just we're coming into land for the end of the show now, but I thought I would finish on a couple more. We've got some really interesting little bits and bobs and some more entertainment news. What was that thing about? So Mean Girls has made its West End debut, not West End, sorry, Broadway debut, but obviously it's probably going to transfer over here. Because I don't know if you were a Mean Girls fan, but growing up as a girl, a teenage girl, it was like such a cult movie to
watch.
It's
a classic.
It's a cult classic.
It's a classic.
Everyone knows about Mean Girls. On Wednesdays, we were pink, Regina George. And yeah, I definitely wasn't a Regina George, for sure. I think I was probably a Janet. I think I'm saying I was a Janet.
Who's Janet?
It was the goth.
Was that Rachel McAdams? No.
No, no. Rachel McAdams was the. That was Regina George. No, I definitely had like black hair, eyeliner. I was like a full on emo skater girl back in the day.
Emo.
Yeah, I was such an emotional punk. That's what emo sounds
yeah,
like.
Yeah, you've got to cover one yeah. eye with hair.
And once my mom was just like, "What's the? Are you an emu?" I was like, "Yeah, no, it's actually emo. It's emotional punk." God, mum, God. This is why I'm like this, because you don't listen to me.
You don't listen to me. You're like, you don't listen to me. You could just have a rant and go, listen, I'm going to comb my fro over my left eye.
Yeah, it has to be the left.
I'm just left. It has to be the left.
Had to be the left, for sure.
It's like my patch.
This is my intimate side. Yeah. This is my exposed side of my soul, and this is my intimate side.
Oh, foolish. Foolish.
I love it, And like, I tried to dye my hair, like, I had, like, black hair with, like, blonde streaks, but it just went bright nuclear orange ginger. And, like, really crusty and puffy and stuff. It just wasn't the one back in the circa 2003. Right, so apparently Shia LaBeouf gave all his clothes to Kanye West.
Shia LaBeouf
has revealed that once he let Kanye West raid his wardrobe, and he even allowed him to take his Indiana Jones hat. Recently he was speaking to Esquire, and he said that they bumped into each other at a party. Apparently Kanye was really nice to Shia's mum, so as like a kind of thank you for that, he was like, yeah, you can come around
and
take any of my clothes. I don't know why is Kanye West taking someone else's clothes. Like, I know his fashion line looks like homeless people wear it, but I said it. But why is he taking Shia LaBeouf?
I don't get it. Yeah, it's like maybe they have the same waist size.
I mean, if I was gonna steal, what celebrity's clothes would you steal if you were gonna steal?
Maybe Idris.
Suave.
Too much. Every time he just switches up all the time, and you're like, what are you wearing today? Oh, who from?
He always looks.
Was it free?
Yeah, probably free. I don't get that about celebrities. The people who can actually afford to get the designer like Fred's, they're the ones that get it for free. Backwards, but whatever. Oh my goodness, we're coming into land right now, so everyone buckle up because plane's going down. But thank you so much, Clifford, for coming
in. No, it's so cool. Thank you so much.
It's been an absolute pleasure. I'm just thinking what we can like end to go out with. I'm gonna go for Ozark. Have you seen that on Netflix?
No, I've seen the poster that I've got.
I've seen the poster of it.
It's on my list.
Okay, definitely watch Ozark. It's amazing, and it's got a really good soundtrack. So we're gonna end that with Nobody Speak, and we'll be back next week on Back Row and Chill, and you can catch up on loads of other episodes as well on iTunes or on foobar.com. Nice. Have a fabulous weekend.
Bye bye.
Picture this, I'm a bag of dicks, put me to your lips, I am sick, I will punch a baby bear in his shit, give me lip, I'ma send you to the yard, get a stick, make a switch, I can end the conversation real quick, I am crack, I ain't lying, kick a lion in his crack, I'm the shit, I will fall off in your crib, take a shit, hit your mama on the booty, kick your dog, fuck your bitch, that boy dressed up like you Santa and took pictures with your kids, we the best, we will cut a frowny face in your chest, little wench, I'ma mention up me fresh, I'm a man. Yeah, correct. I will walk into a court while they wreck, screaming, yes, I am guilty, motherfuckers, I am death. Hey, you wanna hear a good joke? Nobody speak, nobody get choked. I'm coming, I'm the dumbest. Who flamethrow your fuck shit, the Funyuns. Flame your crew quicker than Trump fuck
your feet.